for traders who crave risk. Direction's daily leveraged and inverse ETFs provide opportunities to magnify short-term perspectives with daily 3x and 2x leverage or inverse leverage. Utilize bull and bear funds for both sides of the trade and trade through rapidly changing markets. These are highly leveraged ETFs with a daily resetting designed for short-term trading, not long-term investing. Whether you're a bull or a bear, you choose the direction. For up-to-date pricing and performance, go to direction.com. Investing in the funds involves significant risk and should only be utilized by investors who understand the impact of leverage and actively monitor their portfolio. They are not designed to track the underlying index for more than a day. Before investing, carefully consider a fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at direction.com. Read carefully. Distributor Foreside Fund Services, LLC.
Dividends continue to be an area within the ETF marketplace with high investor interest and demand. And today's audience requested matchup is proof of that. It's a high stakes contest between two opposing dividend strategies, one that uses active management and the other, which uses an indexing approach. So which is the better one? It's Capital Group versus WisdomTree. Find out right after this. Well, it's great to see you again. I'm Ron DeLegge, and you're watching Season 5 of ETF Battles. Keep your awesome ETF contest suggestions coming. Send me your ETF ticker symbols in the comment section below or on our X feed at ETF Guide. We could do double, triple, and quadruple headers, so make it good. Don't forget to check out the description section below this video. I've got viewer resources, which include links to ebooks as well as links to our program sponsor, and links to our program judges, so don't be a stranger. Today's ETF matchup was requested by a viewer named Pregon66, and it's between dividend ETFs that use contrasting strategies. We've got an active approach to dividends, that's with the Capital Group, and that ticker symbol, CGDV, going up against WisdomTree dividend ETF with an indexing approach, that's DGRW. And a great battle suggestion. Thank you, Pregon66. Helping us to sort through it is Mike Akins with ETF Action and Dave Durking with TheStreet.com. Judges, welcome back. It's great to see you.
Good to see you again, guys.
Great to be here, Ron. Good to see you, David.
So we're going to blaze through our four battle categories: cost, exposure, strategy, performance, and yield are combined. And then we got our mystery category. Of course, the latter is where you can pick a certain factor or thing that you feel is crucial to today's contest. And it's a mystery because no one knows until you tell us. And so also keep in mind that our judges can nominate wildcards if they feel that there's a better choice elsewhere, or they can opt for split decisions. I've got the scorekeeping duties, and at the end of the show, we'll declare an overall winner. Keep in mind, none of the battle outcomes are ever known in advance by myself or our judges, nor are they ever predetermined. So let's kick things off with the first category, that's cost. Mike, please get us started.
You bet. So the cost is pretty similar across these two products. You're going to get a little cheaper exposure with DGRW, DGRW from WisdomTree. It is passive. It's got a 28 basis point expense ratio. Capital Group, which is an active strategy, comes in at 33 basis points. So pretty small difference between the two. They both have substantial asset bases. With Capital Group at just under $6 billion and DGRW just under $12 billion. Liquidity is pretty clean for both strategies. So I give the winner to WisdomTree just on pure metrics, though I think that the difference is not big enough between these two strategies to warrant your decision making.
All right. So is that a split decision?
No, the winner goes to DGRW. It's the cheapest. It's a little bit more liquid.
Okay,
I just wanted to category. It's the winner.
Okay, gotcha. Just wanted to confirm that. Thank you, Mike. Dave, you're up next. How do you see it when it comes to cost?
Yeah, I agree. DGRW is my winner as well, with the caveat that neither of these funds are particularly cheap in this category, especially when a lot of people look at the Vanguard ETFs and see that they can get dividend exposure for under 10 basis points. But I think you could make the argument that CGDV deserves a little credit for providing active management at a very small cost premium to DGRW, but I'm just going to look at it on an absolute basis. DGRW's cheaper. That's my winner.
exposure strategy is next. And Dave, break it down for us. Which of these two ETFs stands out in your opinion?
Well, we mentioned it at the top. DGRO is an index-based approach. It starts with a broad dividend stock universe, and then it looks at both quality and growth metrics. So you're looking at earnings growth, return on assets, return on equity, making sure that earnings yields are greater than dividend yields. So it's got that dividend sustainability factor to it. And then it takes the unusual twist of weighting according to the aggregate cash dividends paid instead of looking at market cap or dividend yield. I think that's kind of a nice way to do it, even though it does tilt a little more towards large caps because large companies are going to pay more dividends. But I think overall, it's a real clean approach to investing in dividend stocks. Now, I'll just say straight out with CGDV, I don't like this fund. I don't. I think its strategy of just producing a yield higher than the S&P 500 is very simplistic. It's not a very high bar to clear. But the thing that bothers me most on this one is if you look in the description of this fund, it says that it can focus on companies that either pay dividends or may have the potential to pay dividends in the future. So paying a dividend isn't even required to be in this dividend ETF. And if you look at the holdings of this fund, you can see a number of cases of that. You got Facebook never paid a dividend. Google never paid a dividend. Royal Caribbean doesn't pay a dividend. It actually got rid of it altogether in 2020. EPAM Systems doesn't pay a dividend. Intel's in this portfolio. It just cut its dividend last year. And I mean, you got names like Microsoft in here, which pay less than a 1% dividend, but it's the second largest holding in this ETF. So, you know, with Facebook, Google, and Microsoft in here, it's obviously got a much more tech tilt, much more mega cap tilt. And I just can't endorse a fund, a dividend ETF at least, that doesn't include all dividend paying stocks. So as far as exposure strategy, for me, it's DGRO, and it's a clear winner here.
Thank you, Dave. Great points. Mike, you're up next. How do you see it?
Well, a little different than David. I think you've made a lot of the same points I want to make, which is, first and foremost, you got to remember that dividend investing doesn't always mean yield, right? I think people tend to think dividend, hey, it means yield, but dividend can mean a lot of things, and you can use dividends to identify a lot of different potential outcomes in a portfolio. And I like to think of it, you know, dividend, if you're going after dividends for yield, there are much better strategies I can point out. SCHD, VYM, DVY, SDOG, strategies that are going to be deeper value, generate a much higher income and distribution level for you. They're also going to have a big high value bent. These two strategies fit into that dividend growth, dividend quality category, where if you think about it from a categorization perspective, they'd squarely be in the large cap blend category. They're not value, they're not growth. They both slightly have lower valuations than the overall market, the S&P 500 or the Russell 1000, but they're pretty close. So then it ultimately comes down is why are you're buying these strategies? Because you believe they're going to provide either alpha or better risk-adjusted returns or a smoother ride. In this case, I would think of these strategies to kind of be in that smoother ride slash better risk-adjusted returns. I don't think you're going to get a lot of alpha from these strategies over time simply because they're not taking on more risk. And to get alpha, you have to take on more risk. So that gets us to the differences of these two strategies. There's a lot of similarities in the actual makeup. They've got about 30% overlap. Their return structure is similar. But the sector weightings are different. And to that extent, I look at the two portfolios. It's really hard for me to choose a winner. And it comes down to your ideology. Do you believe that it's better to have a rules-based strategy where there can be no drift to the types of companies you're picking? Or do you think it's beneficial to have a portfolio manager that's got a stated objective, but they can position the portfolio based on their broader macro outlooks? And honestly, I think for this particular category, I like that ability of an active management. Capital Group is no stranger to active management. They're the largest fund firm out there on the mutual fund side. And I think that if you're just looking for better risk-adjusted returns, you're going to have that opportunity is going to be presented better if you have a portfolio management team that is sticking to a discipline, but has the ability to react on the edges. So my winner is Capital Group in this category. And I think one thing to really think about with this is we are seeing a lot of active strategies come to market. And I am very comfortable with the idea of putting an active strategy next to a passive strategy, as long as they play ball when it comes to expense ratio, and as long as they play ball in terms of tax efficiency. And so far, Capital Group has done that. So in this case, I'm going to give Capital Group the winner.
All right. Well, let's see if they play ball on performance and yield, because that's our next category. And Mike, you're still up. So break it down for us. And I know CGDV has a limited performance history, which our judges will probably highlight. So break it down for us. Which of these two ETFs stands out to you, if at all?
Yeah, so I mean, CGDV is very limited track record, and it launched in February of 2022. So it's not quite a two-year track record. During that time, it has significantly outperformed DGRW. If I look at the since common inception performance, DGR, it's about a 2%. So it significantly underperformed the first year, and it's significantly outperformed the last year. So a little more variability there. So performance since common inception is pretty close. Capital Group has a little bit of an edge. The yield, two ways to think about yield. The yield is the actual what the fund kicks off, the distribution yield, what they pay you. WisdomTree has a clear advantage there. The reason that is because when a new ETF comes to market and it grows in size very quickly, it dilutes the amount of dividends that are captured. I'm getting a little nerdy. But so if you look at just like the trailing distribution of the funds, DGRO is double what Capital Group over the last trailing 12 months. But that's a result of how fast Capital Group's product has grown. And they haven't been able to capture all the dividends as new money comes into the portfolio. The second way to think about it is a look-through basis, looking through to the weighted average of the underlying holdings. And in that perspective, they're almost identical. DGRO's got about 15 basis point higher weighted average yield of the underlying than DGRO does. So since I'm not considering either one of these products as a yield focused product, I do like the ability of that active management, again, to come in and say, you know, here's how I can change my portfolio based on my macro assumptions and tilt it to meet that. And I think if I were a betting man, I would think that, you know, that the CGDV has a legitimate opportunity to provide better risk-adjusted returns over the full market cycle.
I love it when our judges nerd out on stuff that I overlook or miss, or that just blindside me with stuff that I don't see. So many great learning points. And thank you, Mike, for bringing that out. You're next, Dave. What is your... We haven't even reached the mystery category. I'm getting so excited. So we're still on performance and yield. So break it down for us. How do you see it?
Yeah, Mike and I may disagree on the exposure strategy, but I have the same take as he does on the yield. Neither of these are going to be especially high yielders, so investors may not like that. But I do like CGDV for the reasons he said. It's an active strategy. If they see opportunities, they can start tilting the portfolio towards much higher yielders. So I think DGRO's yield is probably more likely to stay in the range that it is, whereas CGDV has the ability to take it up another notch if they choose to do that. So from a pure yield standpoint, I do like CGDV on this one. From a total return perspective, over the last 2 years, the difference is relatively within the same range. I'm not sure how many conclusions you want to draw from just 2 years. So I'm going to look back a little further on DGRO, and they do have a 5-star rating for Morningstar. It's actually done very well historically. So I'm going to kind of balance this one out. I'm going to call it a split decision. CGDV outperforms in the short term. DGRO has a great long-term track record, so I think we should consider both of those.
Well, that's a very diplomatic choice. Thank you very much, Dave. And that takes us next to the mystery battle category, which is where our judges can give us a certain factor or thing that they feel is crucial to today's contest. It's also known as our Alfred Hitchcock Mystery Battle category. And so, Dave, you're up. What is your Mystery Battle category, and which of these two ETFs wins it?
Well, my category is going to be what I call truth in advertising. And I kind of alluded to this earlier with CGDV being labeled a dividend ETF that can include non-dividend payers. DGRO doesn't get off the hook here either, because it's a good example of why you shouldn't just look at the name of a fund and assume that you know what you're getting. You really need to look under the hood, because if you look at the name Quality Dividend Growth, the quality aspect of it is pretty clear just looking at the selection criteria and what it looks at to pull out companies that have greater balance sheet quality or better fundamental characteristics. You might look at dividend growth and assume that it looks for companies specifically that have been growing their dividends year over year. The growth part of the name actually comes from looking at earnings growth, not necessarily dividend growth. Now, that's kind of splitting hairs a little bit, because you look at the overall strategy. DGRO's dividend on an annual basis has trended higher, and it has done that pretty consistently. So you're sort of getting that dividend growth as an ancillary outcome to the strategy. But I think it's just important to point out that even though the name dividend growth is in there, it doesn't specifically call out dividend growth characteristics in the strategy. Now, CGDV is kind of along the same lines. I covered the dividend stock or non-dividend stock exclusion in the criteria. But I also have some issues with the value name in there as well, because if you look at some of the Fama French factors, and now I'm starting to nerd out on this stuff as well, but if you look historically, it doesn't really have a huge value tilt. If you look at the Morningstar category, like Mike said, it falls more in the blend category than the value category. Where you do see some value is in the valuation metrics like PE and price to book. It is more value oriented there. I just want to emphasize again, don't look at the name of the portfolio or the name of the ETF and assume that you know what's in there. Just like you may have five different ETFs that are called small cap, they can all approach it in very different ways. And in that sense, I think DGRO does a better job of sort of achieving the quality dividend growth objective than CGDV does in achieving the dividend value objective. So I'm going to give the slight win in this category, in my category, at least, to DGRO.
Thank you, Dave. Scrambled eggs and sloppy joes. That's what I eat for lunch and breakfast every day. Mike, you're up next. What is your Mr. Bata category, and which of these two ETFs stands out?
So it's similar to David's. I mean, I think truth in lending is a great way to say it, but you just have to understand that there's more to a product than its name.
You mean truth in labeling, not lending.
Truth in labeling.
Yeah.
I did say lending, yeah.
Well, so that's
I'm sure they both do stock lending. the advertising side of this is very important, and I think it just goes to show you that, you know, you cannot judge these strategies based on their name. I mean, we've done this show enough where we've provided that example, but I think you have to understand these two strategies are total return strategies. They're risk-adjusted returns. They're for investors that are looking for a smoother ride, better risk-adjusted returns over the long term. If you believe in their strategies, I wouldn't label either one of them as large alpha strategies, because they're just not taking enough risk to do that. So if you're looking for market exposure with maybe a little bit less risk, I think these two strategies are good. They're very solid. If you're looking for yield, go elsewhere, right? There are a dozen different ETFs I could name off the top of my head that are going to get you more yield. They're also going to get you more risk, because yield equals value and value equals more risk. So it all comes together, I think, when you think about it. But you have to understand setting yourself up to align these strategies with your ideologies, with your macro assumptions, if you're an advisor, with your client needs. And, you know, really think about these things as, if you want to label them apple, banana, orange, but don't think of them as dividend, quality, growth, momentum, unless you plan on looking under the hood, because the names can be very misleading. My overall winner is still going to be CGDV, because I do like Contrary to popular belief, everybody assumes because I'm an ETF guy, I'm a passive guy. I got no problem with active management to the extent they meet two rules. They are actually three rules. One, they are competitive on price. I mean, it's been proven time and time again that price matters, especially when these large categories of investing, there's just not enough ways to add value if your price is too out there. The whole reason you're in the ETF structure is tax efficiency. So they need to know what they're doing with terms of creating baskets and custom creations and redemptions to keep the portfolio tax efficient. And it has to be transparent. If you're in the ETF world, show everybody what you own. That's why they want to buy ETFs. I'm not a big fan of the non-transparent world. CGDV checks all three of those. And to that extent, I like seeing active management come into the factor world at a competitive price.
Excellent. And I'll add a fourth point, no closet indexing, if I can, to your, or no, they have to be different from the indexes. They have to offer market, what is it called? Market share? Active share. There you go.
Active share, yeah.
So no, high
active
share.
That's a great point. Yeah. If they're closet indexing, then go buy Vanguard or iShares Beta or State Street Beta and set it and forget it.
So now we've got to the part of the show where our judges can give us their overall battle winner. And Mike, your dime, your dance floor. So tell us, what is your overall battle winner?
I'm going to give it to CGDV. I just want to make it very clear. I like DGRO. I've worked with clients on DGRO that own it and love it, and it's done an excellent job. So I like both of these strategies. I think long-term, to the extent that, Capital Group is committed to the competitively priced active management across factor strategies, I do believe you can move the needle a little bit with that added benefit to not being so rules-based that you can't look at pretty clear trends and update your portfolio for those trends. For that reason, I'm going to give my category winner to CGDV. But I think, as David pointed out throughout the battle, DGRO is a very solid strategy with a very long track record and a very solid product.
Dave, your final chance to weigh in with your overall winner.
Yeah, before I give my winner, I just wanted to circle back to what Mike said about active share. I think that's absolutely the right take. In ETFs, we've been pounded into our head that cheaper is better, index investing is better. In a lot of cases, that's true, but there's a lot of cases where active management makes sense if you're investing in a very niche strategy like cannabis stocks or cybersecurity stocks, or if you're like in a real evolving industry that's changing rapidly, active management makes a lot of sense because it can adjust the portfolio as these changes are happening instead of just rebalancing once a quarter or even once a year in some cases. So I'm with Mike on that one. I endorse active management in the right circumstances. Back to this one, my winner is going to be DGRO for a lot of the reasons I already pointed out. This is one of my favorite dividend ETFs out there because I'm a real fan of using quality screens on some of these dividend ETFs. You can look at high yielders, obviously, although this isn't a high yielding fund, obviously. But if you just target high yielders, you can get a lot of bad apples in there that can really weigh down the total returns of your fund. If you throw a quality screen against high yield, it makes a lot more sense because you get the sense that it's probably more sustainable over the long term. So I do like the mix of quality and dividend growth in there. And again, it's just I don't like the fact that there are non-dividend payers in CGDV. It's just I think if you're going to buy an ETF that has the dividend name in it, I think it should just include all dividend payers. Just my preference. But DGRO is going to be my winner in this battle.
Well, our judges have spoken, and according to my final battle scorecard, today's showdown is a split decision between CGDV, which Mike chose as his preferred choice in today's contest, and DGRW, which Dave preferred. And each of our judges raised up some great points and agreed on many, many of the categories. For the most part, it was Mike, though, in favor of CGDV. I like his three rules, too, for active management. I thought that was pretty outstanding. He raised some great points about transparency, making sure that it's an affordable cost, tax efficient. And of course, the other one was high active share. That's if you're using an active strategy, that's, of course, something that you absolutely should have. And Dave raising his points, liking the fact that DGRW, obviously, is rules-based. It's been around a while. It's got a very affordable cost. And he just couldn't get past, though, the non-dividend payers held inside CGDV's portfolio. And so I thought that was a great point, his mystery battle category about truth in labeling, which, you got to scratch your head and say, hey, you know, it makes you wonder, how are non-dividend payers winding up in a dividend-paying ETF? So again, our judges, I think, raised some good points for our audience members to think about. And certainly, I think we have accelerated your search. If you're looking for a dividend, one of these two dividend ETFs, hopefully the research that we've provided our judges on this program will help you to make a solid end choice. So again, great job to both of our judges for breaking it down. We couldn't have done it without you. Mike and Dave, well done.
Thanks, Roz. Great being here.
Thanks for having me. Good to see you guys again.
Before we go, just a quick reminder to visit the description section below. We've got links to both of our program judges. Check out what they're doing. I think it's pretty awesome. When you're down there, you'll also get a chance to hit the link to our program sponsor, Direction, and a lot of good stuff at their website. And of course, hit us up in the comment section. Let us know which ETF contest you'd like to see on the next episode. Give me your ticker symbols. And I'm Ron DeLegge with ETF Guide TV. Don't forget to subscribe, and we'll see you on the next episode.
For traders who crave risk, Direction's daily leveraged and inverse ETFs provide opportunities to magnify short-term perspectives with daily 3x and 2x leverage or inverse leverage. Utilize bull and bear funds for both sides of the trade and trade through rapidly changing markets. These are highly leveraged ETFs with a daily resetting designed for short-term trading, not long-term investing. Whether you're a bull or a bear, you choose the direction. For up-to-date pricing and performance, go to direction.com. Investing in the funds involves significant risk and should only be utilized by investors who understand the impact of leverage and actively monitor their portfolio. They are not designed to track the underlying index for more than a day. Before investing, carefully consider a fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at direction.com. Read carefully. Distributor Foreside Fund Services, LLC.